listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hold up, let's take it from the top. I Fox, get my swerve on, floss pure rocks in the six drop, boo, and it don't stop. See money stay looking all right. Yeah, what up, pop? Cross the room throwing signals, I'm throwing them back. Flirt in, cuz I digs you like that. Peep baby boy style, hoping we match. You send me crown royale with a note attached. It said you look like the type to know what you like. I took a tail from the jewels, you go for the ice, plus you wear the shoes well, the suit flows nice. I don't like the notes too well, let's be more precise. Meet me by the VIP, let's powwow. Whisper in my ear like, boo, let's bounce now. I'm about to say peace to my mans for you. When it's all said and done, I got plans for you. He said, ooh, baby. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
Gotta get you home with me tonight. Ooh, baby. We are live on a Saturday before the hurricane hit Charlotte.
Yes.
So, you know, I think it's been downgraded to a tropical depression or something now.
Probably has.
Even though, you know, obviously it's still causing flooding and water in the streets and stuff.
It's still slow moving.
We don't know how bad it will get it, but it doesn't seem like we'll get it too bad. So.
Wind and rain at the most.
Yeah, it sounds like
we're not getting no flooding because, you know, me and Roger talked about it. The way the news chopping it up, you would think the whole state is underwater, and that's not a true statement.
Yeah, they keep like interspersing the footage of the warnings with like pictures of other counties and stuff, but a lot of the stuff they're showing is from the beach.
Right.
So it's like, here's Wilmington. It's like, well, of course Wilmington's underwater. Wilmington's the closest to sea level,
right. They like right at the ocean.
Right, it got hit the longest and stuff, but you know, I have no idea what it's doing to cities like ours. I don't think it's doing that much, but anyway, we're staying indoors, staying safe, staying strapped up. So, you know, we should be good. If you're worried about us, don't, you know, you can stop.
We good. But at least we know we love, because, honey, everybody worried about us. Even the people at some of our favorite restaurants was worried about us. The lady yesterday made me start laughing. She's like an older black lady, and she was like, y'all good? Everything okay? Y'all prepared? I was like, yes, ma'am, we good.
Yeah, she was like, y'all got batteries, y'all got flashlights, y'all got candles, y'all got, we was like, we got everything.
she wanted to be sure.
She's like, I'm gonna make sure I get this tilt.
All right, and y'all live to come back.
But yeah, it's a feedback show. So we talk about all the stuff that you had to say about the things that we had to say the week before. And we did get plenty of feedback this week, and we will be reading
it. Yay! I like feedback.
All right. And, we will be talking about it. And of course you can do all that stuff by leaving us 5-star reviews on iTunes. You can go to, Stitcher and leave us 5-star reviews. You can go to the blackguywhotips.com, leave comments on the episodes, vote in the polls. You can leave comments on your votes in the polls. It's a very interactive experience, and there's a lot of ways to have your voice heard, and we appreciate everybody takes time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and unofficial sport
is bullet ball,
the bullet ball extreme. And let's give a shout out to all the people that took the time out to give us money. You go to the blackguywhotips.com, on the right hand side there's a donate button. If you would just like to become a recurring donator or something like that, you can just do that, and boom, we get money, and we like to shout you guys out.
We do.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day.
New day, new money.
Yes, sir.
Shout out to our girl Raisani. She's writing for Rail, the new TV show on Fox, starring Larelle Howley. So shout out to her. She stay working now.
Don't she stay working?
That blackout test bump is real.
Mm-hmm.
Tanya S, thank you so much for your current donation. Dana W, we appreciate you. Virginia G, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Samuel H Jr, appreciate you. Wonga, what up, mate? We got a one-time donation from Stephen S, who says, putting my five on it. Love you guys. See you at the live show. Well, we will.
Yay,
see you.
Thank you.
Kelly C, thank you so much, Kelly. Lisa D, thank you, Lisa. Jane M, we appreciate you. Our girl Shirley Wong Esquire, please say the Esquire.
You better, she earned it.
Cynthia D, thank you so much, Cynthia. Tiffany B, we appreciate you, Tiffany. Ashia B, thank you so much. Design T, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Alfonso M, appreciate you. Damian Jackson,
ooh,
I am for real. Thank you so much. Celeste M, thank you, Celeste. Autumn W, thank you, Autumn.
Yes.
Kyle K, we appreciate you, Kyle. Joy M, we appreciate you as well. My brother Rodney, thank you, Rodney.
Yep.
Bambi, Dr. H, thank you very much for donations.
Yes.
And that's everybody. So appreciate y'all for hooking us up on this rainy day.
I know, right?
Where is that love, y'all?
There is a love and a joy that you promised me. Tell me it's all right.
The truth is,
I almost gave up my power that I can't explain.
The Holy Ghost power, y'all.
Fell from heaven like a shower.
Now I know we've been hurt, y'all, but still,
I smile.
Come on.
Even though it hurts me, I smile.
Y'all feel that?
I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while, I smile. Smile. It's so hard to look up when you look down. Sure would hate to see you give up now. You look so much better when you smile. Smile for me. Can you just smile for me?
Whatever you're in right now,
smile for me.
Smile.
Can you just smile for me?
And the people say,
oh, oh, oh.
Hey.
All right, let's talk about these 5-star reviews. We got 2 on iTunes today.
Yes.
And none on Stitcher. Flygirl8984 says, cousins in my head. I have listened to this show since 2011, and it simply gets better and better. The hosts are genuine, thoughtful, and delightfully irreverent. Rod and Karen make you feel at home. It's like sitting on your favorite auntie's porch with your hilarious cousins. If you're not listening yet, what are you doing with your life? 5 stars. Thank you.
Thank you.
And last one, 5 stars. This is from Steph Simpson, who says, one of the greats, 5 stars. Since I first discovered you guys back in 2014, I was hooked. You guys get me through my commute and my workday and make navigating this increasingly ridiculous world a little more palatable. Your segments are ripe with hilarious insight, depth, and compassion, and I'm very appreciative of how you and Karen are able to sometimes put a humorous spin on otherwise dreary stories.
Mm-hmm. We try our best.
In the last couple of years, I've had to tap out of nightly and 24-hour news channels almost completely, as it has become more depressing. You and me both.
Correct.
Also, when you tap out, one of the things I notice is you see a little bit more how much of it is about anxiety,
right,
and making you feel anxious, and that the only thing that would cure this is watching more of what you're watching to get more information so that you can eventually feel better. But in the age of Trump, when you have such a horrible person in the White House who's so inept and everything is breaking news and he's so scandalous, it really can inundate you to the point where you're overwhelmed. Because there
Correct.
Is no good news coming. There is no Mm-mm. presence. Like, I read something before we came on the air that was like, Donald Trump is gonna visit North Carolina. And that's something that presidents have done forever. They visit places that have disasters and things of this nature. And I was thinking to myself, what is this child gonna do? Like, he's not like, what is he gonna make me feel? Like everything's okay? Is he gonna assess the damage and decide, you know,
he's
like
gonna make up numbers?
Yeah, like this is a guy who won't admit how many people died in Puerto Rico because of Hurricane Maria. I don't think I can despise a man more than him, and I don't see why him coming here would assuage anything. This is not like with Obama, where you at least felt you had an adult. You felt that, you know, this is a man who was capable of some level of compassion. I think Donald Trump is the opposite. George W. Bush was so inept. It's like he's flying over, you know, destroyed houses in New Orleans talking about good job, Brownie and shit. Like, this, you know, you just feel like, what's the point? And I just think about that a lot with Trump, how a lot of this news that well there'll be some calming presence of some adults in charge at some point. You're never gonna get that, so why even watch the news 24/7?
Yep. So, you know, and the thing is, for truth be told, just because you quote unquote tap out, it don't mean you're not aware, because certain things, no matter what, you're going to hear about. But you don't need to hear about every fucking thing that's released. It will drive you up the wall, and I think it's purposefully and strategically designed to fucking exhaust people. It's designed to beat people down. It's designed to make people give up. It's designed to make people lose hope. Like, it's designed to do that.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it. I don't think it's the news is designed to do that. I think it's a byproduct of what they do, because they're basically designed to get you to pay attention so that you watch it and give them money for, you know, so the sponsors give them money for their ads. And that's why when you look at the screen, it's past the breaking point of the average human. But if you turn on any, you know, MSNBC, CNN, Fox, all of them have the same basic format, for ESPN even. Scrolling news at the bottom, headlines, you know, all types of different images and moving panels all over the screen, mm-hmm. you know, to the left and right, like a mm-hmm. list of topics and mm-hmm. all that type of stuff, you know, and it's designed to get you to, it's almost like pop-ups on your computer.
Correct.
It's just designed to get your attention, and it overwhelms people and makes us tap out for some of us. But there's some people that watch that shit 24/7. They just turn it on in the background and it's always on. And you know, I noticed when I had it on, even with this weather thing, every time I have it on, it's just depressing. It just makes me, it sucks the happy feelings out of me.
Yeah, and like I said, I think that's the purpose of it, in my opinion. Like, I understand you said about, it's almost like an addiction. That's the,
yeah,
that's
the purpose is to get you addicted. I don't think the purpose is to burn you out. A lot of us get burned out, but if the purpose was to burn you out, then how do they even make money?
I don't know, but yeah.
They make money from commercials. I do know.
They make money from commercials, but the byproduct too is, hey, you are going to have some audience that you actually are absolutely. Trying to addict. That's like, fuck it. I'm cutting this drug off. I can't do this.
Absolutely. But it's kind of like Facebook.
That's true.
Like, people go, oh, Facebook depresses you. No, that's a byproduct of what Facebook does. They didn't set out to depress you.
No.
They just don't give a fuck about you.
Correct.
So if you get depressed because you can't stop clicking on things and they can't stop showing you your friends fighting with each other, or this fake news article that everyone's outraged about, or this topic that really isn't going to matter in 24 hours, but everyone needs to fight and fuss about, you know, whether Cardi B and Nicki Minaj are right or wrong and ghetto and all this type of shit, that those topics are inconsequential in the big scheme of life, but in those moments they feel very intense and people argue and they fall out and all that stuff. Well, the key to Facebook isn't, they don't care if you fall out with your friends.
Mm-mm.
They just want you to click the next thing so that they can show an ad, you know. So that's the thing I'm saying. I agree that people getting burned out is happening. I just don't think it's the purpose. They think the purpose is selling ads, and it works, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, it burns me out. I can't front. And when you talk to people that watch that kind of shit all day, it's like you can tell.
Yeah, they're very negative. A lot of times, a lot of them are very depressed, whether they know it or not. It's some form of depression, because it's such, you're bombarding yourself with so much sadness. And studies have showed, as much as people don't want to admit this, people that disconnect from social media and people that don't spend as much time on social media, people that don't bombard us, they actually have a more positive outlook on life.
Yeah, to me, I was gonna say, I can tell because people are they're a bit callous to certain things. Like, it's more about scoring a point, it's more about a debate, it's more about winning, it's more like, because those are the things that those shows value. And I try my best to not make our show like that.
Mm-mm.
You know, I don't want to have it where me and Karen are debating. I don't want to have it where we bring on a guest to argue with us.
Oh no, that's not happening.
Yeah, I don't want to have it where the whole show's just fucking depressing, you know, all the time. Like, you know, and some shows, that's what they are.
It's, yeah,
hey, trigger warning this, it's this thing is happening. Here's another sad thing. We don't have anything funny to say. We have to be very serious and appropriate about these discussions. And, you know, even the things that start out funny, we turn it into something very serious and not funny. Like, I try to avoid that because, like you said in your review, it can burn you out.
Yeah, and also, to me, it's one of those things where, you know, to each his own. And a lot of times, because there is an audience for that, like you said, they constantly are consumed by that, so you're gonna have that audience. And I think that because we make jokes about any and everything sometimes, regardless of how serious it is, we may limit our audience. But I am okay with that, because the world is fucked up, and so a lot of people come to us as a form of escape. And my thing is, I want to be that as much as I can. Yes, we do talk about serious things. Yes, sometimes it's like, nah, we ain't joking today. But, you know, overall, I want it to be somewhat of a positive or a break away from these things. And we'll talk about it, but we will put our own funny spin on it, versus everything is nobody knows the trouble I seen.
Right. Yeah, it's a very fine line, and we try to walk it. Through the podcast, I'm still able to stay informed on these issues that really affect our community. This review was a long time coming. I apologize for dragging my feet. I don't use iTunes or Stitcher for some reason. It doesn't work on my phone or computer. I'll be seeing the live show next week, and I'm super excited to meet you guys, but there was no way I'd be able to look my passes in the eyes without putting 5 on it. I just hope Florence acts right and doesn't crash the party. Keep up the good work. I love and appreciate everything you two do. Thank you. And we're really glad that some of you guys are gonna be coming to the live show and decided to put these reviews on it, so that when we
look you in the eye, we're gonna be like, you leave a 5-star review, gonna be a lot of hanging heads and shame, so y'all better get on it.
Yeah, so, but seriously, thank you for checking us out and supporting us. And thank you for checking us out and supporting us and all that stuff.
Yeah, now you can look at the other people and be judgmental.
We had episodes last week. Let's talk about them. Some of you left feedback for some of them. 1751, The Soul, The Spice, and Everything Nice. We had no comments, but we had a poll with comments. Are you happy for the return of Pumpkin Spice? Yes, nah, or meh. 45% of y'all are like me. You are happy for the return of the Pumpkin Spice. 6% are not happy, which is a lot lower number than I thought it would be. 49% are meh. They don't care one way or the other. Which is fine. That you're probably secret Pumpkin Spice fans.
They ain't came out the Pumpkin Spice closet yet.
Mm-hmm. Come out the Pumpkin Spice patch. Susan says, I'm happy because the return of Pumpkin Spice will make Rod happy. Thank you, Susan. Trapping is a Hobby says, you forgot to put yes as an option. And Veggie Vixen says, I really don't like pumpkin spice drinks, but I'm all for the candles decorating pumpkin seeds. So I guess I'm on the everything nice of the pumpkin spice and everything nice arena giggle. Man, welcome to the clue. I'm gonna count you anyway. Mm-hmm. You don't have to like it all, but if you're excited about the return, then you're in the game. That's it. We got episode 1752, Serena, Sephora, and Susan. Very fun episode.
It was.
I almost called her Serena, Sophia, and Susan. But
I thought that's what you was gonna name it.
Frankie says, nigga, I laughed till I couldn't see. Your white girl voice for the bride segment was too funny. I laughed the entire, I just scroll back to the top. Okay, let me scroll back to the bottom. All right, I laughed the entire story, but what made me couldn't breathe was when you got to the end of the cousin's rebuttal, when she basically said, as for her South American backpacking trip, she got y'all shook, and that bitch ain't got going no goddamn where. That the baby's gonna be all right. That took me out. I heard that and was like, okay, her cousin must be black. Ashley writes in, hi Rod and Karen, I want to drop a quick note to briefly give some insight into foundations and why sometimes they may seem to get darker or oxidized throughout the day. Karen was not being familiar with makeup, I can understand how all the terminology and things can be overwhelming. With some liquid foundations, oxidation happens, when the heat and the natural oils from your skin start to mix with the foundation throughout the day. The heat and the oils cause the pigment in the foundation to intensify. This is why sometimes the foundation may be a half shade to a shade darker by the end of the day or within a few hours, depending on your skin type. If you find that foundation oxidizes but not enough to make a big difference, here's a tip. Make sure when applying the foundation, you blend it down the front of your sides or your neck so that the color will be seamless and bring balance to both the face and the neck. If you do even it's turned into a makeup tutorial. If you do end up having to exchange foundation, don't fret. Makeup shopping and finding what's best for you is basically trial and error, especially as a woman of color. Sometimes it takes trying different techniques and formulations to find what works best. Again, I understand how this can all be overwhelming, but they have return exchange policies for this reason. As a professional in the makeup industry, I couldn't just sit silent when it seemed you and maybe even some of the listeners could be curious about the foundation oxidation talk. I hope this message receives you well. I'm looking forward to traveling to Charlotte next week, and I can't wait to see you both live. Thank you.
Yay! I won't be applying it, but thank you.
You won't be applying it?
Mm-mm, your mama gonna be doing it.
Right, that's true. Brooklyn Shoe Babe says, it's been nearly a week and that Serena controversy still has me deep in my feelings. I could feel her frustrations and I don't know if I could have handled it so gracefully. I'm just tired of black people getting disrespected and folks tripping over themselves to say there's no double standard or racism involved. This country was built on racism and patriarchy and classism. It's in everything. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Falcons Diva says, hey Rod and Karen, okay, I was hoping I will be able to make a thoughtful post about the U.S. Open, but my emotions are still on 100. I was there. Last minute trip that my friend and I booked Thursday night. I was finally going to see my queen. You probably don't remember, but I wrote in after the last time I went to the U.S. Open.
Right.
I had tickets to the finals. Serena lost in the semifinals and I cried.
Right.
After watching Naomi, previous two matches, I was fully prepared to watch Serena lose, but not like that. Being in the stadium, you couldn't hear what was going on, but this point and the match penalty showing up on the board, I was frantically texting my friend trying to get the info. It was so crazy. Needless to say, I cried when they both were crying on the podium. I still can't watch the full video of Serena talking to that raggedy ass umpire because I get so angry. And Serena was so calm about it, much calmer than when she threatened to shut a ball down that lady's throat in 2009. I think it was 2009. Oh well, some friends have joked that I'm a U.S. Open jinx. I'm actually withholding the souvenir I bought one friend. She was the first to make that comment and I'm still in my feelings. Maybe she'll get it next week. Anyway, I can't wait to see you guys Thursday.
Ha ha! She might not get it. I will just keep it and prance in me keep it. My gift to me.
That is Team Petty right there. Classic RV lover says, hi Rod and Karen. This episode was too much. Karen calling Sephora, Sophia, and saying that she blacked it. Rod reading in his white bride and the bride white's cousin voice. Damn, it took me out. Sometimes getting to TBGWT as you dive is, listening to TBGWT as you drive is damn near taking your life in your own hands. $1,500, my fat black ass shaking my damn head. KC Cologne, okay, that's how you pronounce it. KC Cologne says, I was not physically prepared for the voiceover of the letters. I listened to this episode twice just to re-listen. That was funny shit. Thank you.
It was hilarious. I actually re-listened to it at work. Because, you know, I'm actually here, but a lot of times, you know, we're interacting and shit like that. But I actually sat down, like, actually listened to it. That shit was fucking hilarious. And the way you emoted the emotions, I was like, yes, so very white girlish of you.
Yes, thank you to everybody for the compliments. It's really flattering, and I was very happy this week to hear, you know, so much feedback about that specific episode. Because, you know, I was reading that for the first time as well, and just being like, you know, it would be funny if I did this in a white girl's voice. I didn't know how long it was going to be, but it was speaking to my soul. And then her cousin had her response. It was,
come on,
it was fun, man. So thank you. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. That's what we're here for, to make people laugh and stuff and think. Trace Windu says, hey Rod and Karen, thanks for another great episode. And Kevin Hart's voice, I wasn't ready for that voice, Rod. Even listening to the show live, that voice had me laugh my black ass off. Also, of course, congrats on the live show. Thanks again, you guys. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And lastly, Evie says, I have to be honest. I was blocking people left and right Saturday and Sunday for saying anything negative about Serena. No one who hasn't played at that level of their sport could understand how it must feel to be constantly singled out when you're trying your best. I feel that she's passionate about her game, but in her people calling her a brat, and in the men they call it passion. It's sexism and racism pure and simple. That being said, Naomi did the damn thing, but I don't think it's an accident that they keep erasing her Haitian heritage by constantly referring to her as only Japanese.
Correct.
She's mixed race, but in this country she's seen as a black woman. Funny how she's just Japanese when she's playing Serena. It's weird because, like, I've heard several different accounts, and I guess it's all anecdotal, but I didn't see, cause I saw, I was listening to Firestarter, and Tone was saying he saw a bunch of black people saying, she ain't black, she Japanese. And I saw the opposite the whole time. Like, cause it's not like that's her first match. Like, she's always talking about how she's Haitian. When other black people talk about her, they're like, she Haitian and Japanese. The Wikipedia change to is Japanese and she represents Japan, and they took Haiti out of her bio. So that to me wasn't a black thing. That's something that somebody else did to be like, she's not black or brown or whatever. But I don't know, when you look at that girl, you look at her hair, who the fuck is not thinking she's some kind of brown or black?
Right.
Anyway, that's not even important to me. Not like it sucks that her win was spoiled by that bullshit.
Correct.
You know, and my thing with Serena is, I think a lot of people got into this, and by the way, you know, if this is your stance, I'm not debating it, but a lot of people got into this thing of like, you can't say she was upset, you can't say she was yelling, you can't say she got mad, you can't say she ran it. You can't say she had a meltdown. You can't say she had a tantrum. You can't say da da da. And maybe that's how people feel. I personally feel the opposite, where I'm like, even if she did, what's the fucking big deal? Cause that's not something that's never happened in tennis before.
Right.
And I don't think what she did was so egregious that the ref couldn't have used his discretion to be like, I'm not going to fucking penalize her a game. I'm gonna let her get this out of her system and then let it go, because Serena is a fucking winaholic. She don't like losing. She has gotten into it with judges before a couple times, but it's not some constant shit like McEnroe. For the people that keep making that comparison, McEnroe was far worse. And his whole career
he constantly showed his ass.
Right. Even this game that people are talking about was so egregious, would not rank in the top 50 of fucking John McEnroe rants. It's not even close. But I think one of the things that just did not come into play for a lot of people, that or they just refuse to view it this way, because as far as they're concerned, it's like, well, it's just this one situation with this ref. But to me, this is Serena calling in her marker. She's like, look, I'm 36 or whatever, I've endured over 20 years of you guys being this way. I'm playing as the favorite in my own country at the U.S. Open. I'm calling in my marker to say, y'all gonna stop doing this shit. Y'all are gonna treat me the way that y'all supposed to treat somebody in my position. And there's a lot of reasons that y'all don't. Partially being that I am a black woman from Compton. Regardless of me being the best, y'all won't see me that way. And I think that's a big part of it. And even with the umpire being a quick trigger umpire and all that type of shit, there's still, to me, his reaction was basically, you're not going to talk to me like this as a black woman. I can't prove that. Nobody can prove it.
But yeah, that's why.
How I felt. And, you know, I don't think I'm alone. I think a lot of people felt that he said that, I'm not taking this shit off this black woman. And maybe to some people, they're able to look at it and go, nope, that had nothing to do with it. I can't even understand why that would come up. And for me, I can't not see it. And if people want to disagree or have a problem with me saying that, then too bad. You know, like, yeah. Then we just disagree.
That and this ref is a fucking problem. men have said, you won't ref for me because you're a fucking terrible official. Nobody, they didn't get together and boycott that nigga. They didn't get together and say, well, we not gonna ref your games, did they? No! What the fuck are we talking about here?
Right, and even in that response, it feels very much like, but see, this proves Serena's point, cause y'all wanna unionize behind, y'all wanna boycott her matches behind this shit. Y'all, and y'all really wanna boycott, not because of what she did, but because people said she got a point. That's why y'all want to boycott.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she tied it into the sexism of the tournament, you know, and got y'all, and luckily for them, she's graceful enough to be like, I'm gonna keep it to sexism, because she could be like, and racism, because there's white women that could have gone up there and said that shit and he wouldn't have called that fucking that penalty.
Mm-mm.
So anyway, that's how I felt. But this is the problem with racism, sexism, all the isms. If you can't prove it, like, you almost gotta catch the dude being like, Serena, you bitch. And then it's like, okay, yes, that's definitely something he said to her because she's a woman.
And for some people, it still wouldn't be enough.
Right. But I'm just saying, more people would be like, okay, we caught him. If he would have said, Serena, you nigger, a lot of people would have been like, okay, before I didn't really have nothing to say. Now I do got something to say. That's kind of how this felt to me, where it's like, you know what? He's gonna get away with this because he has plausible deniability.
Mm-hmm.
You can't prove he did this because he was like, ain't no black woman talking to me like this.
Mm-hmm.
You can't prove it. So that's what we get. Anyway, Rod, you may, anyway, my main point being, I don't even care if she was angry and ranting and all that shit.
Nope.
Like, I'm not gonna argue semantics about it. So she should have that right. It shouldn't cost her a fucking game. What? I don't understand why we can't have both. LeBron James cusses out somebody in the NBA. I've never seen him get kicked out of a game. Cause it's LeBron James. If fucking Draymond would do that shit, then he get ejected like he lead the league in ejections. Cause it's like, who the fuck you think you are talking to me like that? Anyway. Rye, you made me nearly pee myself when you were reading that Bridezilla story in your white woman voice. When you were raising your voice, I about died. I think the groom dodged a bullet. He really did.
Yes, he did.
Imagine having lived the rest of your life with her.
He was like, oh, I'm trying to do something more reasonable, and you act like I'm crazy for saying, you know what, let's do something fancy in Vegas.
To Death Do You Part, because you know it wasn't going to stop there.
Oh, no, it's going to get worse.
Is $1,500 too much to ask for a wedding gift? Yes, no, or, I mean, you can ask, but your ass ain't getting it. 31% said yes, it's too much to ask. 1% said no, so it's good to know that lady listens to this podcast. And 68% said, I mean, you can ask, but your ass ain't getting it. Karen, what would you have voted?
Oh, you can ask, but you ain't getting it. Okay. Ask all you motherfucking want to.
Brooklyn Shoebake says, $1,500, kiss my ass. You have to be blood if you expect anything over $50. CT says, listen, anyone short of my daughter getting married is going to get a smooth $250 or less. I don't know what to tell you, homie. If I get a bill for $1,500, I'm just going to assume you don't want to be friends no more.
I don't blame you.
Right? Damn shame we couldn't be friends. What happened? I'm motherfucker sent me a bill for $1,500 to go to their wedding. That's what happened.
All right. We guess we on no talking terms then.
Mm-hmm. She must think she got some rich friends.
Come on.
All right. We had episode 1753, Getting Laid. Miss Jackson says, I'm very disappointed in you, Rod. How dare you not play the I Hate Slavery clip? Oh, I guess you're talking about that plantation wedding. Jarius Cole says, Dear Morrows, first off, y'all been in top form leading up to your live show, which I'm bummed I'll miss, but hopefully it's the first of many. That story about schools bringing back spankings and whoopings, as black parents call it, seems par for the course. It seems like every day we hear about politicians trying to take us back to the old days when white men ran roughshod over everybody. I agree with Rod, the proposal is kind of weak. Compared to how my mama used to whoop me. She was a master with a belt and Hot Wheels track. Woo! Not the Hot Wheels track. Mm-mm-mm. That's that abuse. I remember one time, it's funny, like, I got hit with a belt and a switch. I'm like, nigga, you got abused. It's because it's different than mine. But I remember one time I went down my boy's house and he got in trouble for some shit, man. His mama pulled out an extension cord. I ran out the house so fast, like, I don't want to be a witness to a crime. Like,
I had spankings like that.
Yeah, I can't relate. My parents hit me with, It was either a belt or a switch. Like,
yeah, my mama, it was like whatever was the closest in hand.
Yeah, dang, man. Black people, man, we gotta do better. Don't hit your kids if you listen to this. Talk to them. The fact that that woman had to call Cassidy to shame her black friend for not wanting to attend her plantation wedding, peak call Cassidy. Her friend was so nice in her reply, way nicer than I would have been. Same for the guy who pulled a gun on those black students. But thinking about that white female police officer takes me back to Alton Sterling. White people are out of control and it's so scary. Thankfully, we have you two to lighten the bad news. Thank you. Thanks, Jared. Alicia says, my old ass didn't know how to leave a comment underneath the show, so I'm sending an email. I copied and put this on there. I just wanted to let you know that I'm one of those black parents that iTuned my 17-year-old's ass at the time when I found some purchases on the inappropriate Google searches. Also, he was playing on people's phones at 2 o'clock in the morning and acting up at school. Needless to say, he didn't have that phone for more than 3 months, and now he's 10 with no phone. Love y'all, and please do more Guess the Race. That's my favorite part of the show. Thank you, Alicia.
Yep, sometimes you got to let them hang themselves. You be like, oh, you know what, you're not responsible enough. Nope.
Mm-hmm. Fireworks says, hey guys, I wanted to make a comment and ask a question on the Dallas cop / Mr. Jean sad, Mr. Jean, sad unfortunate situation. Was the officer in uniform? Because if she was, when do you know police officers leave their homes, go to work, do a shift, and come home all in uniform? My brother is a police officer in New York, and I know he doesn't do that. Maybe other city states are different, but my point is that the story has a lot of holes, but not surprised. Well, I'm gonna be honest, man. This story has turned black people into some, like, detectives.
Yeah, because the other shit that came out, I don't know if it's true or not. You're like, wow. Like, it's videos online of her actually moving out of the apartment complex.
Yeah, that's not... Yeah, I just want to say that's not what I'm talking about, right? Like, those news updates.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the stuff where it's like, well, if it was dark, then how did she see the silhouette? Unless there was light coming from a window. Did they have an open window at the time? And I don't know. I don't need to break down whether or not she's telling the truth. That has no relevance to me. The truth of the facts are she walked into the wrong apartment somehow and shot a man. I actually don't need a lot more.
Mm-mm.
Like, it seems like everyone's trying to debate this on her terms and the police's terms. He had weed in the system. I mean, but if he had weed, then how come? Is it his blood? Then why? Does she smoke weed? I don't even care.
Sure don't.
There should be no scenario where a police officer can just walk into the wrong house and kill a motherfucker like, oops, my bad. I thought it said 1478. No. So yeah, I haven't really been inclined to get into the,
oh no, the semantics.
What if they did this? Mm-hmm. Did they know each other? Did not?
Don't give a fuck.
If the court finds that, or detectives find that,
right?
Or the lawyer or private investigator finds that, then sure, let's discuss it. But I'm at, don't walk in people's houses and kill them. That's where I'm at.
You're right. I'm not going past that point.
Yeah, no, like, I don't need to know whose fucking fingerprints on the doorknob. Like, you did kill this man. Everyone knows it. That's not even disputable. So you should go to jail. The fuck is that? Amani says, do you know how pissed Adrian Peterson has to be at that Georgia news? You mean all he had to do was become a teacher? I could put these child beating hands to good use and nobody would say anything? Man, you walk into the motherfucking office and principal Adrian Peterson in there. Mm-hmm. Bro, you might as well just kill me, bro. I don't want I'm a grown
I don't
man.
Want that paddling.
I'm a grown man and I don't want that. Brooklyn Shoe Bay says, Chad and all his dude bro glory. I don't know why this story amused me so much, considering that some innocent black man got a gun pulled on them. Well, it did have a lot of positives. Black Twitter CSI to the rescue, the 1980 slang. Racist white dude losing his job and his wife in the process. Turns out he was married. Damn, he lost his wife too. And of course, yeah, because he was up there trying to fuck some college student. Makes sense. And of course, I'm gonna get laid, bro. What about you? And of course, the fact that no one got shot. I listened to you two break down the story 3 times because I was chuckling so hard. Yeah, I'm gonna get laid. Mm-hmm. Why are you going upstairs? Get laid.
His wife was like, oh, really?
The fucking loser.
Somebody was like, Becky, did you see this? What?
Gonna tap some cooch, bro. Kay Swindu says, hey Rod and Karen, I always in the back of my mind figured some crazy shit like this would happen in Airbnb. When I first heard about them, it threw me for a loop. People staying in someone else's home that they don't know. Shit, Clay Davis. You know, you don't know that person from fucking Adam. Everybody has to be careful out there here these days. It's bad enough POC have to deal with possible racism from renting an Airbnb. Then you throw in this weirdo shit into the mix too. Be safe out there, y'all. Yeah. He's talking about the Airbnb story where the man was recording.
Because I know a lot of people use Airbnb. They never had no problems. It's always been a positive experience, you know. So from that perspective, I understand. But also there's these other factors that people take account of, where some people are like, I won't use it because it's a lot of unknown, and this shit can happen to you at a regular ass hotel too. Please don't get me wrong, but it's in between that and somebody's home.
I just feel like they got footage of all of us naked somewhere.
Of course,
whether it's a hotel, whether it's someone's hacked your Xbox, something.
Cameras is everywhere.
They got you somewhere. Like somebody
sitting there naked speaking to Siri, you somewhere. Right.
Somebody got you doing whatever things you don't want them to see. I'm so over how this Bothum John is being treated in the wake of his murder by that white woman. They are trying it, and I'm over that bullshit. How dare you try to blame a man for getting murdered in his own house by someone who didn't live there? This world is trash, Ryder Karen. Anybody who thinks that's okay to treat him that way is fucking trash. Thanks again, Ryder Karen. Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, it's open to shut case to me, man. I don't understand. Like, I keep seeing all these news reports, and I'm like, why the fuck would any of this matter to me? Like, honestly, he could have had a gun. You understand what I'm saying? He could have had a gun and shot at her, and I still would be like, why the fuck were you in his house shooting at people? None of
the
this.
End.
Yeah, nothing you have. There's nothing you can say, because Texas is a state where, like, you expect to get fucking shot coming in somebody's house. It's crazy. EVE says, I really hope that Bridezilla stories become a regular part of the show with sound effects and all. I love it. Bridezilla stories are the best. But this bit here has some damn nerve. She posted that shit on Reddit and deleted it, because believe it or not, most of the people came for her neck, and now she's embarrassed. I really hope her black friend saw the post, because it went viral. This was the way she knows that this woman isn't really her friend. If I was the black girl, I'd still spend a send a present on the inside is a doo-doo surprise.
what
a doo-doo surprise.
Are you gonna sprinkle glitter on it? What the hell is happening here?
What's the surprise? You open it and confetti come out for this doo-doo? That way the bride knows exactly what I think of our friendship.
Oh, a piece of shit.
Oh, is it dog shit? Is it your shit? What are the rules to the doo-doo surprise? I'm out of the doo-doo surprise game, guys. I don't think I'm not
participating in that one, no.
Do you think black people do plantation weddings? Yes, all the time. Yes, but very rarely. Or, man, hell no.
No.
3% think yes, all the time.
Who are you talking about? The few Republicans out there? What the fuck are we talking about here?
Yes, all the time. I'm just trying
for them niggas I can understand.
I'm just trying to picture black people doing multiple fucking plantation ways, dog.
You confusing the people that own the place? Everybody's confused.
Right. Even the racist people that own the place got
right.
Like, now you know. Okay, now, ma'am, we will take this deposit, but before we take
right?
it,
they explain.
We just
it to
want
you.
A triple check.
You know this is a plantation, right? Plantation, right?
This is Johnson Plantation.
Right. The cotton plantation. The rice plantation, right?
Right.
You know this,
okay.
Right?
That right there is a slave quarters. It's an old slave
quarters.
Come on. You're okay with this.
They
you
used
sure?
to make their own lasso. Yeah, like, do you really understand what I'm saying here?
Yes, but very rarely. 28% and 69% say, man, hell no. Corey B says, what if Ralph Angel ever gets back with Darla and gets married at one on the family's land? Would that count as getting married on a plantation? I mean, technically, there are some real life black folk who have hundreds of acres of farmland. That's not what makes a plantation. They would call it a plantation. You can own a bunch of land and not call it a plantation. Spill says, I mean, my mama jumped the broom with some random man in his mama living room in 89. Close, but no cigars, I guess.
Nope, no cigars.
Yeah, I don't think that's really even close, to be honest with you. And the last episode was 1754, Hurricane Overdraft Fees. Because they had to come up with some better names for hurricanes, because motherfuckers are not scared enough of hurricanes to leave.
Come on.
I saw an article before we came on the show that was like, oh, this woman said she wishes she had left during Florence. And I'm like, you were on the phone talking to the news the whole time. You could have escaped.
You could have left your, you could have took your ass out there anytime.
She was like, now I'm on the third floor of my house because the first floor is flooded. And I'm like, okay, you could have. They told you to leave.
Now I'm sitting on my roof.
So I didn't think it would actually be bad.
What the fuck you thought it was?
Like, you on the beach, man. You not in Belmont or some shit. Like, you know, right. You close to the beach.
Right. You know, when you look at your window, fucking dolphins and sharks are floating by. It's a problem.
Right. All right. We had three comments. Angela says, we were so excited about coming to your live show. My brother surprised me with tickets as soon as they went on sale.
Aww.
Now, thanks to Hurricane Florence, my plans are shot. We live on the coast of North Carolina in a mandatory evacuation zone. Not only that, but because of my job, we are considering first responders, so no live show for us. Hope this is not the last one you do.
Aww. Oh, I hate to hear that, baby.
Sorry to hear it, Angela. Brooklyn Shoe Bay says, necking, that shit ain't no new game. My brother and his friends used to do that in the fourth through eighth grade, we used to call it open neck for a while. They would also play a game called open chest. I know that one.
What's up? You hit somebody in the chest?
Hit somebody in the chest, yeah.
Y'all want to fight? What the fuck is this? Testosterone.
Yeah, like you left your chest open so I get to punch you in it.
What? Girls don't never do that.
I'm not sure why nobody put a stop to it. I guess it was the 1980s and nobody really cared as long as nobody died. Evie says, I've already had the pleasure of meeting you two at NegoCon, but I'm so bummed that I'll miss your live show due to my travel schedule. If you have another one, I'm hoping to make it, but I wanted to wish you both the best of luck and hope you have a blast. Thanks.
Thank you.
So yeah, sorry for the people that can't make it, but we're gonna still have a good time. And can't wait to give everybody their stuff and play games and and
still got a few little last minute stuff to do, but I'm
sing
so
some of our stuff and all that kind of sign stuff and meet people and hug, handshake, or high five people, like all that stuff, man. It's gonna be a fucking good time. And they're calling for very sunny skies on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week. So hopefully by then everything's straight with the weather and you guys are,
it should be.
You guys will be here and we'll enjoy ourselves. All right. The poll was, should the serial Don and Dasher dude be put in prison? Because I was like, I don't know what the rules are to that. It's going to be interesting to see how that case plays out if it goes to court. Because it could be precedent setting.
Yes.
Yes, he should go to jail, Karen, prison. No, because he got felonies. That's why I said prison. Yes, he should go to prison. No, or check, please, Karen.
Yes, no, or check, please. I guess check, please. I guess you probably something you have to pay because, like,
wait,
I guess
you said check, please, so you going to leave?
Oh, leave. Oh, okay.
It's a joke, Karen. Check, please. That's what he says before he leaves.
Okay. And then he like, I'm out. That's a iffy one. Like I said, is no, I don't see how you legally can, but I do understand because it's a serial thing and they don't link this shit together. So it's like, oh, you're frauding restaurants, you know, out of money, you're consuming their food, you know. So from that perspective, I can see the restaurants actually coming in and be like, hey, y'all, you order something, you did not pay for it. That's right for the restaurant.
Makes sense. And so, yes, 43% say you should go to prison. 28% say no, and 30% say check, please. Brooklyn Shoe Bay says, Rod, you brought up some very good points regarding the Don and Dash guy. I never even thought about it that way. It's technically Don and Dash if the data's still there. Sitting there, from some of the reports I heard, the women would get there and he would have already been there and eaten, then would leave while she was waiting on her food to arrive. I'm not sure if that was for all the cases. Maybe I'm petty, but I feel like the only people that get hurt in Dine and Dash cases are the servers who don't get tips. I agree. Yeah, that's the worst. And yeah, I like I said, scumbag behavior. I do think something should happen to him. I don't know. It'll be interesting if it's precedent setting, you know, and if the genders were reversed, how would people feel?
Correct.
That's just a question I have. All right. Let's get into our emails. I don't think we have any voicemails. At least we didn't last yesterday. I guess I can open up that program and see. Let me see
if anything's running.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think we had any emails though, if I'm not mistaken. And then I'll get to our, I mean, what did I say, emails? I don't think we had any voicemails, if I'm not mistaken, but I'll open up Skype and double check real quick. All while I wait on Google to load
and do its thing.
The podcast emails. What's going on right here?
Yeah, and while we're doing that, we have 5 days, y'all. I'm so excited to meet and greet and smile and take pictures. I am so excited.
Oh damn, we did have some voicemails. All right, well, so let me try to play these real quick.
Okay.
Like, we had 2 voicemails. I have not pre-listened to these yet, so hopefully they're not too ridiculous.
Yeah, I hope not. We'll stop it if it is.
Yeah. All right, here's the first one. Okay, I guess that's a butt dial.
I'm assuming that is.
Sound like a butt dial to me. All right, let's go to the next one.
If I had a butt dial,
We were trying, you know,
somebody didn't lock their screen.
Unless a butt called us, it could be a butt that was trying to get in contact and see what was going
on.
Yeah,
it didn't have a voice. Sorry. Mm-hmm. We couldn't understand you, Mr. Butt.
Mm-hmm. No ifs, ands, or buts, actually.
Ah!
On that call. All right, so we got another call on Monday. Let's see what this one is.
Hey, Ron, Karen. This is Iman. I haven't called in or written in a while, but I hope you guys are doing well. I'm a little behind on episodes. I see what y'all doing on Facebook and on Instagram. So, but I finally listened to the episode where y'all talking about the Everything Bagel. I almost died because when I read it on Facebook, I just read it in Rod's calm voice. I was like, yeah, Everything Bagel is the All Lives Matter of bagels. I was like, yeah, it's really not that good. It's like, it's probably like my third choice if they don't have onion or garlic. And I'm like, yeah. It's like, it's okay. But then when Rod said it, he's like, in his like fury, I was just like, and I had to let go of the steering wheel, so I went swerve into another lane because I didn't want to die. But yeah, but Rod's right about that one. It's like, I don't always agree with him on food, but he's right on this one. My child does love sliders, but I mean, it's a little kid burger. It's not really for adults. You like make little slider sandwiches. Those are nice. Those can be good. But sliders, they're always dry. They're never good. At least for adults. For little kids, yes. All right. I love you guys. You're so funny. And thank you for all the laughs. I've really been needing them. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, Amon. And yes, sliders are for children. That's a perfect time to eat sliders. Those are the people who should get excited about going to Crystals or whatever the fuck, because they're children. You know how you know a slider is not even a fucking burger? No one ever asks, how would you like your slider?
No, when you do sliders, they go, okay.
Burn to a crisp. It's the only way they got them. Because it's just too little meat to give a fuck about medium well, rare.
Yeah, but you sure like,
It's and all the same.
And I've ordered sliders before, and they'll be like, okay, they'll ask you medium well, rare.
Right. Can't believe people follow.
They're like, no, we're just going to put your shit on the grill till it's black.
And I'm glad you heard the truth. And for the record, I was calm about how I felt about Everything Bagels. I was absolutely calm when I posted those statuses. It wasn't until a podcast that shall not be named tried to come for my neck. And that's when I got excited. I said, oh, okay.
They tossed you in the pit.
Yeah. They tossed me in the pit with Tariq Nasheed, Steve Harvey, R. Kelly. Like, these egregious, horrible human beings. They threw me in the pit with them. And I said, now I got to stand up for myself. Because how am I supposed to respect myself if I let that happen? All right, we had emails. Let's get to these. Mocha Minute says, hey there, Rod and Karen. Even though I won't be making it to the live show, fights the air. I want to congratulate you on this big accomplishment. Oh, and wish you happy early birthday. I'm so glad that I found your podcast. Karen's laugh gets me through my day. I now make a podcast, even though I may not work as hard or put out as much content. I know how dedicated you have to be to doing this, so kudos. Yeah, that's a beautiful thing is, when people start a podcast, I'm like, especially if they're like, you guys inspire me, you know, I'll start a podcast cause y'all, I'm always like, that person will then appreciate exactly how much work it is.
Cause a lot of times they hit us back later on, they be like, dog, this is a lot of work. We be like, yeah, it really is.
It's like, yo ass be working. I'm like, exactly. Like I did basically about 8 to 10 hours of work yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was exhausted. Like at the end of the day, I was like, I need to lay my fucking ass down and go to sleep. You know, I'm tired right now, actually, to be honest, but, and I'm not glorifying it on some like work till you're tired. I mean, it's okay to be tired from work, but I don't want to be tired all the goddamn time. And that's why you catch us taking more days off or skipping things here and there, making the show shorter. It's cause, you know, I do, like everybody, we all need our breaks and stuff. After we do the live show, I'm sure I'm taking a break. I don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. Like niggas have just had to get used to that. Should have been there. I don't know what to say. Like this has been a lot of planning.
Months of planning.
Right, and that's the stuff that doesn't contribute to people listening to the show at the time. Mm-mm. They don't know, but it's work behind the scenes.
A lot of meetings and getting up and rearranging stuff and a lot of talking and it was a lot of work. I am so excited it's here, but y'all, this has been months in the making.
Mm-hmm. This is like my marathon. Like when we get
right,
when we get off that stage, I'm gonna take some time for myself.
Mm-hmm.
When Karen was talking about Pirate's Booty, I wanted to let her know about the Pirate's Booty at Trader Joe's. First, the huge bag is only $1.99. Okay. I don't know what the prices are for your grocery stores in MC, but here in Maryland, they want $3 to $5 for the Pirate's Booty in stores. The one from Trader Joe's is really good. There's a white cheddar flavor and a sour cream and onion.
I'm gonna have to go check out Trader Joe's because I can find it at Walmart.
The sour cream and onion is not my fave. The white cheddar is a staple, but you might like it. I stick with the white cheddar. I'm about to reach year one. My actual podiversary is September 22nd. So I said in year two, I wanted to keep in touch as much as possible with folks. I would like to think that includes Queen Karen and Uncle Rodimus. You know that cooking uncle who always cooking dinner and saying, hey, stop by if you want to play. I just threw this together. I want to also tell you thank you for always being a voice. Always making me laugh and making me think. Even though I know you were being satirical to a point about Lauryn Hill, I understood completely what you were saying about on the pregame about the different rules for Lauryn. The miseducation is still a classic and no one can tell me different. Come on. Yeah, like I said, I had to stop talking about Lauryn Hill because people was starting to be like,
so seriously.
Yeah, and I don't know when it got to that point with her where it's almost blasphemous to be like, I don't know, I feel like she gets double standard. That's not really fair. I feel like a lot of women do in hip-hop. But then at the same time, like well, for example, with Cardi B and Nicki, like, you know, Cardi tried to fight Nicki at da-da-da-da. And I've listened to people talk bad about just them, and I can't believe they would do this, and you know, this is, you know, it's ghetto, it's ratchet, it's bad, it's this. But those same people, when Nipsey Hussle like slapped a dude, that video went viral, they were laughing at the dude that got slapped, they was applauding Nipsey and shit. It's just like, it's just weird double standards. But like I said, I don't want to get back into the Lauryn Hill thing, but I that's why we have a podcast, and that's why our shit stands apart from some other shit, and that's why other people's shows stand apart from ours, because we have different opinions. And that was something I do feel strongly about, is that people could have had a little more empathy for Lauryn than they showed, and they definitely have more empathy for certain people that have been way worse to folks, way worse. And I don't understand where the revisionist history comes in, you know. I think also when it comes to, you know, the crowd kind of turning on people and stuff, and it, you know, and I'm here for jokes, like I'm not knocking jokes, I get it, but when it comes to like turning on folks, there's kind of a social capital to doing it, and a lot of people are invested in that, and so they want to be like, I also insulted this person, you know. It's like Anchorman with Brick, where they get in a fight and Brick is like, when they're like, I love you, man, I love you, man, and then he goes, I love Limp, and it's like, that's right, Brick just wanted to be involved. Like Brick shit didn't even make sense, he just wants to be involved. And I think that happens sometimes with social media, mm-hmm. where it's like a pile on, like we're all shitting on Lauryn Hill this week because Robert Glasper said something, and this is our chance to let it out, and then it becomes that, you know. Norm Macdonald last week, you know, he's never been funny. When Wanda Sykes was working on the Roseanne program, all of a sudden she's never been funny. I've always thought she was trash. You know, it's that shit where I'm like, how the fuck did this person make millions of dollars, sell out of, like,
and not be good at their
jobs? All these jobs, like makes a living off of being funny, but they was never funny. You know, how is Miseducation not even that good, but people still mad because they buying tickets to see her perform it 20 years from when it came out? Like, it must have been something. You're not just buying tickets for anybody. Like, if fucking the Sporty Thieves said we about to go on a tour for 20 years ago when we had that one album, we'd be like, man, you don't get the fuck out of my face, that album wasn't that good. That's like people do feel a way about that album, and maybe that's where we lost it at, is in the age of social media, her coming back and with the, you know, and missing the concert dates and shit and being late, maybe it's just where it's easier to turn on her than to be like, yeah, that shit happens, you know. But like, I like her album, but I also feel like it's highly unprofessional for her to do this.
Correct.
Like, I think there's a line. Anyway, finally, would love to have you both on the pod and would like to come back to TBGWT. I was thinking sometime October or November for my show, whenever you have time for your show. Love always, and sorry for the long email, Stephanie. Yep, let me try to save this and I'll get back to you about scheduling that, or actually, you know what, you're listening to this, email us when mm-hmm. about the when you want to have us on, and we'll figure something out. We'll yep. figure it out.
That's the best way to reach us.
Yeah. Email is always better. People always send me like direct messages and shit.
Yeah. A lot of times y'all, we don't see them. We see them late. If you ever want to get in contact with us about scheduling, being on the show, us, any of that stuff, just email the blackoutwhotips@gmail.com, because I cannot always guarantee you we will see your DMs.
Backbiting massage. This is a Kiana who says, so this chick has been doing the biting therapy for over 40 years, but just started charging 24 years ago. So she was biting people for free for all that time? That's a good point. She had to practice and hone her craft for 16 years of backbiting. What the fuck, white people? I need to know what the conversation to get people to consent to let you bite them sounds like, because if she asked me, I'd have been stuttering like that sound clip of Killer Mike. And the rules say that she has to clean her mouth, but what about the client taking a bath? This whole thing sounds disgusting. Love y'all. Yeah, that's pretty nasty. I don't want to be bit on the back.
Anyone, it sounds unsanitary.
Yeah, anyone, and then I gotta pay them for it. Charlotte recommendations. Alexandria writes in, hi, I thought at one point I heard you say on the show that y'all would be giving recommendations of what to do while people are in town for mm-hmm. the live show. I may have made this up. If so, my bad. Nah, you didn't make it up.
You didn't make it up.
If not, well, is there a webpage I missed or an episode I should go back and listen to specifically? I know you guys do give a lot of recommendations in your general conversation, but just making sure there wasn't a specific resource I missed. If not, I can also use my Googles instead. See you at the live show, Alex. Yeah, we did. I really just forgot to do that episode. But we can give some recommendations right now. Go ahead, Karen.
Oh, you want to get right now? Okay. Like I said, it was something I was going to sit down and actually plan okay.
Well,
for.
Then,
I'm sorry.
We'll do it later in the week. We got guests tomorrow and Monday. So maybe we'll do a Tuesday episode. If not, then, maybe we'll work it into the other episodes. But I mean, just in general, there's a lot of restaurants and stuff that we like to go to. If you follow mm-hmm. us on Yelp, you'll see some of our reviews and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we can go by that.
I mean, I give a list.
The thing is, downtown, where if you get a hotel downtown, we don't really go downtown a lot to eat,
but it's a bunch of restaurants.
But
downtown,
there's a bunch of shit, like by the venue, there's so much shit. I don't even know where to begin. If we do a show Tuesday, or if not, we'll work it into another episode or something. We'll figure something out, guys. Mm-hmm. We got y'all.
Yeah, we'll get a list together, because I want to give you guys a list of the activities that are happening.
Emily says, hi Rod and Karen, it feels weird to write an introduction as if we don't know each other, because you all been my cousins in my head, and I became a listener back in 2011. The Four Loko podcast extravaganza is what changed me from being a casual to a faithful listener. That shit was epic. So I accept the judgmental side eyes the two of you might be giving me, as this is long overdue. I'll also leave a 5-star review so I can stop ducking my head every time the church secretary asked the visitors to stand. It's been amazing to watch the growth of your show. Listening to you two has helped me grow as a person as well. I've been through many life changes while being a listener, and I appreciate your show being a welcome background noise in some of the storms in my life. Karen, from you, I've learned the liberation that comes from being unapologetically oneself. No one can do Karen like you do, and that gives a lot of us validation to follow suit and to be our best selves with no apologies. Thank you.
Like I said, it's being yourself is something that's underrated, because everybody tells everybody to be themselves, but everybody is trying to do everything to be like everybody else and not want to be an individual, because everybody wants to be accepted by the group, everybody wants to be loved, everybody wants to find their tribe. But what I realized about, truth be told, about being yourself, sometimes that means you're going to be alone. And that's something that people don't want to accept, because sometimes you're going to be the quirky one in the group. You're going to be the weird one. You're going to be the odd one. You're going to be the one that people think don't take nothing seriously. You know, you're going to be the one that, it's a lot of shit that come with just sit down and say, who am I? Because that's a question that a lot of people never ask themselves. Their whole life has been, what has other people thought about me, and not actually, who am I? You know, who am I as an individual person? Not me as a mother, not me as a wife, but who am I? You know, and that's actually a really deep question, particularly with women. Women are never really allowed to ask themselves that, because society and even other women consider you selfish for asking yourself, who am I? Trying to find out who you are. You know, trying to get to what you like, what you don't like, what makes you feel comfortable, what doesn't. Because a lot of times when you realize who you are, people ain't gonna like it, because that means you're gonna tell people no. That means you're gonna be like, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. That means you have standards. That means it's gonna be some bullshit that you're not gonna put up with. That means people gonna have hurt feelings and just gonna have to deal with hurt feelings. You know, that means you're not gonna go with the flow in a lot of things. Because I'm a really, really laid back person. And because of that, sometimes just living life, people have kind of taken advantage of me out of my lack of knowledge and not sometimes realizing how the world functions sometimes. And people act like there's something wrong with you for just not knowing. Well, how the fuck do you supposed to know the world is a cruel place at times until you've actually experienced certain things? And it's a process. And I wish more people would actually love themselves enough to ask themselves who they are.
Rod, the deference you show Karen is inspiring and endearing. Your thoughtfulness on so many subjects makes your listeners consider the experiences of others more closely. I've had to re-examine my leanings towards the bougie and reconcile whether the motivations are born of respectability politics or my own true beliefs. The takeaway is that if I'm made uncomfortable, perhaps it is also part of me being made better. On a side note, we left-handers do indeed do this life thing a little better than the right world would have people believe. They don't know how we had to overcome. Come on. All my life, I had to fight to not get ink stains on my palm. Come on. That's the truth, though. We do see things in a different perspective, and that's 100% serious. There's science on that.
Yeah, because the way it is, I realized that with you and for other people, yeah, you have like the ink mark on your hands.
Yeah, but I'm talking beyond the ink mark. Like, there's been studies on just left-handed people see the world differently, you know. Like right-handed people, they did a study with like just in video games and stuff, like when you have a choice, take a left path or a right path, right-handed people almost always take the right path because it's just the default. They never think about it. In any case, my husband and I are so looking forward to being at the live show next week. You're the main event, but you're also giving me an excuse to come see my brother and my niece who also live in Charlotte. Y'all are reuniting black families and shit. Thank you, Emily. Yay! Thanks, Emily. And it's interesting too because at the live show there's gonna be a lot of couples there, and just keep in mind, if you need tickets and you're gonna be in the area, we still do have tickets that people have bought, sent to us to give away. There's also people who find out recently, like, I can't make it, here's my tickets, you know. Mm-hmm. So we have tickets if you're you know, in the area and you need tickets.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And tickets are still on sale,
and there's also, of course, tickets still on sale, theblackouttest.com/live2018. If you want, like I said, if you want to just get tickets to support from far, like, hey, I can't come, but I'm just buying tickets. People have been doing that. We got people that, you know, have hit us up and like emailed us like, hey, I need tickets. What's up? You know? So either way, it's fine by us at this point. We just want to have as many people there as possible to have a good time.
Yes.
We got this one from Detroit. Retiree Sims, who says, one thing that's really unique about your podcast, something that I really like about it, is every so often you take the time to read an entire story from the headlines. You did this with Beyonce's Vogue issue and Lauryn Hill's response to Robert Glasper's comments. I happen to read the following article from Ken Burns, the creator, writer of Blackish. Oh, Kenya Burns. I am sending you the link to the article and hope that you find it as interesting and infuriating as I did. It also is my hope that you read it on your The Blackout Tips podcast. Here are two quick excerpts that might persuade you to include it on your show. I have already saved this article to read on an episode probably coming next week or so. I think for fucking with black people. So we will get to that article at some point, you know. I don't know if we'll read the whole thing on the air or not, but we'll definitely get to that article. Cause I, as soon as I saw he was talking, cause he's going to Netflix and leaving ABC, and I know he gonna have some things to say, I was like, yes, please. Cause I know he about to be spitting them facts, cause, his exit from there came off of that Roseanne Barr bullshit experiment.
Yes.
And you took a flagship program like Blackish and you let Roseanne Barr mock it. You kowtowed to her racism and let her put on anti-Muslim episode and shit, while at the same time you didn't want the Kaepernick discussion to happen on Blackish. What the fuck? So yeah, we'll probably read that. Episode 1754, Hurricane Overdraft Fees. This is from Terrence, who says, Rod and Karen, I was wondering, if the officer in Texas who shot Mr. Jean had just finished a 15-hour shift, how could she come home to complain about noise? Like I said, I don't need to be a detective on this. You had me at she should not have been in his house killing him.
Right.
So, and last one's from Ada, I believe it's Ada, maybe it's Ada, who says, hey Rod and Karen, I have always used the Google Play Store to listen to your podcast apps. This week, I kept seeing y'all talking about new shows, but was only seeing Serena, Sephora, and Susan as the most recent one. Not sure if it's something on your end or Google's end or maybe something with my phone. Other podcasts have updated with their new apps, which makes me worried about what's going on with yours. Hoping you're staying safe with all the rain in your region. Hope y'all are hype and ready for the live show this week. I am. I wish I could be there. Cheers. I don't know. I'll email Google or something. I'll check with them, but I don't know why it would stop. It's working everywhere else.
Mm-hmm, working everywhere else.
From my understanding. Matter of fact, let me double check real quick, to make sure that it's working on like my iTunes and shit, but I mean my podcast app on my iPhone, but I don't know why it wouldn't be. Cause it's working.
On Spotify and all the other platforms.
Yeah, so it's probably something with Google Play fucking up for our feed, and I have no idea why. But
somebody in the chat room said the shows update late on it, like
Google Play.
Yeah, it'll update, but it don't update like right when we put it out.
Man, who knows, man?
Right? Because see, these are other platforms separate from us.
Yeah, you know. Hopefully, you can get you another podcast app. I like RSS Radio. Mm-hmm. but you know, Pod Kicker is a good one.
Yeah, Pod Kicker is a good one.
But yeah, that's some other, I would probably just move to another app, but I would double check with Google Play, because you know, if we're on there, our shit needs to be updated.
Come on.
So I don't know why ours wouldn't be and everybody else's is. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. That's it for today's feedback show. We're gonna go out and you know, everybody's saying place be safe in the hurricane, but honestly, guys, I'm gonna go out and hang around some trees.
No!
Probably fly a couple kites with a key attached to them. You know, I'll maybe go hang around like a place without very good drainage, drive my car down there, see what happens.
Go hang around a few ponds and lakes.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm into. So you know, I'm actually gonna live dangerously this weekend. So
well, I'm not.
No, you going with me. We both going out here, and we probably go fishing, you know, something like that.
You know, I like to fish now.
All right, we go fishing, park the car real close to the water,
and no,
hang out.
We not parking the car close to the water now.
Mm-hmm. All right, y'all. Until tomorrow. Oh, and premium people, you got a new episode of Nerd Off, a new episode of Balls Deep Sports, and pregame yesterday. So
yes, you did.
It's all on your premium feed. Until tomorrow, I love you. Oh, and tomorrow's guest, Chris Lambert. And then the next day, Hadia from Black Ass Podcast.
I'm excited.
So hopefully the power don't go out. Keep your fingers crossed and none of that bad stuff happens to us here in Charlotte.
I don't think
so. And we'll be on the air at, like regular tomorrow and Monday. All right. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.